For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered.
Bringing pro football to the Mid-South for nearly two decades.
It's a miracle!
Yes!
Good! Touchdown, Titans!
This is Titans Radio. Now on Titans Radio, your chance to talk about the Titans with the head coach. This is the Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Now, the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith.
Welcome to Phoenix and another edition of the Mike Mularkey Show. We don't usually do Mike Mularkey shows in Phoenix, but with the team staying behind this week to practice after Sunday's game in preparation for this coming weekend's contest at San Francisco, we're here live with the team, and we'll be joined momentarily by the head coach, Mike Mularkey, to take your calls at 877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. And take Twitter questions as well at hashtag Titans Radio. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Find out what you're thinking about and let you ask your questions of the coach. Dave McGinnis will join us later in the program to give us a bit of a preview of San Francisco. And also Jim Wyatt from TitansOnline.com will come by to give us a little bit more of a flavor of what's going on here with the team as this ball club is all together. Working together at all times and doing everything at all times as they are spending the entire week here. Ball club will end up being gone for 9 full days as the team left on Friday night and will arrive back home after Sunday's San Francisco contest very early on Monday morning. So quite a road trip for the Titans as they prepare to take on the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers are now 3-10, but their 3 wins have come in the last 4 weeks. They were able to knock off the New York Giants 31-21 after losing to Seattle. They won at Chicago 15-14. And then this past weekend, a very impressive performance beating Houston in Houston 26-16, the final score there. Jimmy Garoppolo scheduled to make his first start at Levi's Stadium, another place where the Titans have not yet played but will as of Sunday. Garoppolo has been fantastic in 3 total games. And again, as I mentioned, 2 starts. Completing 67% of his passes for 645 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He has been sacked a total of 4 times. The thing that we really haven't seen from Garoppolo yet is his ability to move. He hasn't run the football yet, but he does have good wheels. Of course, if you're the 49ers, the guy you're looking to rely on to run the football is Carlos Hyde. 188 carries for 771 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's a 235-pound back who also leads the team in receptions. 52 receptions for 307 yards. They have some good guys on the outside, too. Marquise Goodwin has had a nice year, 41 catches for nearly 800 yards. His 1 touchdown on the year, an 83-yarder. Defensively, Robert Saleh's unit has improved dramatically over the unit from a year ago that the 49ers had, giving up just 352 total yards, getting to the quarterback a lot more. They have 25 quarterback sacks, much improved, very good in the front 7. Injuries have taken some toll in the secondary, but this is a ball club that's peaking at the end of the year. And watching some San Francisco television highlights and watching some national television highlights this morning, this is a club that people are saying, hey, in 2018, they could be the Jacksonville of the year. In other words, they could be the team that makes the big move from 1 year to the next. And because they're closing with this sort of a flurry, everyone seems to be very excited about where the San Francisco 49ers are right now. Of course, the Tennessee Titans can't really be concerned about that. They've got to go in and find a way to knock off the 49ers. That game is on the air at 2:30 Central Time this Sunday, 2:30 Central Time for Titans Countdown, and the kickoff is set for 3:25 from Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California, the Titans and the 49ers. Joined by Mike Mularkey, unusual setup as we are together in a meal room doing this program tonight. How would you describe the 48 hours that we've been here since the ball game in terms of it differing from your preparation back at St. Thomas Sports Park?
Not much different. We had typical Monday yesterday. We had, the coaches really, it's very, very similar. We're in a foreign you know, place with these big meeting rooms, and we're having to ad lib a little bit with our game plan boards and things like that. But our guys are doing a great job. It's the players that have to. It's been a little different. You know, our workout yesterday was outside, which was nice. It was a beautiful day here, and you know, today on their day off, we took some buses over to ASU for them, optional lift. I think a lot of guys did it, took advantage of their time. They have a lot of free time here without their families, and I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's been good for them, get to be closer with their teammates, and it's really been good. I know they miss their families, though.
877-848-2671, your chance to talk with the head coach. What sorts of things have the coaches been focusing on in terms of getting ready for San Francisco? What sticks out?
Pretty normal. You know, we're working on right now. I'm just left a meeting, which I normally do. We're in the middle of third down. Little behind just because of the time. You know, even this show it being 5 o'clock out here, having to do a couple of schedule changes, but we're in third down. We've done first and second down. Defense is also doing the same thing. They're probably into red zone right now. They put red zone in on Wednesdays. But a lot gets put in, and then tomorrow when the players come back in for meetings in the morning at 7:15, we'll present everything. But we're basically installing, and then everything we install has to be drawn up against everything that they do. So it's offense, defense, and special teams.
48 hours after it's over, what are your final thoughts about Sunday's game against Arizona?
Well, we had a chance to win the game, and that's, you know, we let one get away from us. That's the most disappointing thing. Our defense and really special teams played well enough to win the game. And, you know, offensively, just too sporadic, had our opportunities. And again, we felt like even up to the last drive, we had a chance to win the game. And again, that's all you can ask for in this league, having a chance. And we could not come through this time like we have in the past. And again, it just things we can address, things we can fix. That's the good news. And our guys are understand that. And you know, we got a good group here, so they're locked in, getting ready to go. They know that one's over. Nothing we can do about it. The only thing we can control is this Sunday.
Phone calls at, let's see, Chris and Munford will lead off at 877-848-2671. Chris from West Tennessee, thanks so much for joining us. You're on Titans Radio for Coach Mike Mularkey. Go right ahead.
Hey, Coach. You kind of just answered my question, so I'm going to move on and see how are we going to put a program in place to get a better mix of play calling on offense to get them back in stride and hitting like we were early in the season. Got good things going. Great defense. Great, great defense. But I'll hang up, listen to your answer, tighten up.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate the phone call. We're working on some things. You know, we got a little bit with the injury to Marcus in this game. Again, kind of hampers your game plan and your call sheet. It certainly does. It changes a lot of things. I know people don't realize all that, but that's not an excuse. It's a fact. You know, we're trying to. And it's not just Marcus. We got some guys dinged up. We had lost Lawan early in that game. That you've got to change some things. And we did. But we still didn't. When it came down to it, it was the execution. And we've got to do better. We've looked at ourselves offensively as a coaching staff. The players know we're doing that. We're going to do whatever we can to get this thing back up to operating like we can. But we got to get guys healthy too. That's the number one thing.
First Twitter question at Titans Radio. This is from Mike. I know you always say ignore the noise, but is it hard not to listen to what the fans and the media are saying about you right now? Do you not read the papers or watch TV?
No, I don't. I don't read any of it. You know, because I understand. I live it. I'm here. They don't know frustration. There is frustration because there's a lot of hard work and a lot of hours and a lot of time away from family. And when we don't win and things don't, you know, turn out like we want, I can promise you it's a lot more frustration for us on this end than it is for them by 10 times. And so, no, I don't read it because I understand it. But I understand, you know, when I get family members, hey, you doing okay? You know, that's the world we live in now.
Sure.
And this is a negative world. People, that's just how it is. And that's if you don't win, that's expected. That comes with this business.
In some ways, is it better that you're away from home in this way, spending the week here in Phoenix right now sort of thing?
No, we're not hiding from anybody.
Sure.
Look, this is the same team that won 6 out of 7 games before this last one. I mean, I for some reason, especially the media is looking to find a way and make it. I think they're. I'll let it go because all it does is promotes them to write more, and there's nothing I can do about it. I can't have any comeback. I'm always going to come in last when it comes to dealing with making comments with the media. No, we're not hiding. This is a good football team. We know we're a good football team. We got 3 games. We win 3 games. We win the division, period. Our guys know that. We're locked in. This past game, again, is a blip in the road. For this football team, we've done a lot of good things. I wish people would realize that. It's hard to win this league, and we'll be back this week, and just, hang in there with us.
877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. Has it become harder to prepare for San Francisco since they changed quarterbacks and sort of changed their direction only a couple weeks ago?
Not really. The offensive scheme is not going to change. He's had a lot of success with it. It's a West Coast background with Shanahan, with a little flavor of Denver run game with the zone scheme, and then heavy play action. Really what they try to do is establish the run, which we've been very good about, trying to stop it, and we will continue to do that. But I think they try to establish it so they can get their play action game going off of it. And, it's very potent offense if you let it be. I know they're much more confident, with Garoppolo in there now. They're statistically, they've gone up since he's been the starter the last 2 games. And, so they're playing with some confidence.
What impresses you about Jimmy Garoppolo?
Very smooth, calm, collect. I mean, he's not intimidated he's got 4 starts. He's won all 4 starts. You don't see him, nothing rattles him, a sack or anything, nothing really rattles him.
Good player. Garoppolo off to a good start for San Francisco. More of your calls. We've got one more segment with the coach. Jim Wyatt will join us. Dave McGinnis will join us. You're listening to the Mike Mularkey Show from Phoenix on Titans Radio. Glad to have you with us for a special edition of the Mike Mularkey Show, coming to you from Phoenix, where the Titans are getting ready for another West Coast game. They're getting ready for the first West Coast game, a second game out west. I've said it wrong all week, Coach. I'm sorry. Arizona is not on the West Coast. It's just out west. The Western Swing is what we'll call it. Going to San Francisco this weekend. Let's take Bailey in Milan for Coach Mike Mularkey. Bailey, thanks for joining us at 877-848-2671. We're glad you're with us on Titans Radio.
Thank you for having me. Coach, I've just got a couple questions. One, can we see or will we see Mariota this week with his injury? And two, also, will we see more of Henry in the running game now that he continues to produce? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling, Bailey. We're planning on having Marcus. We're going to see how it goes tomorrow in practice. He and Taylor Lewan as well. Hopefully Morgan's getting better, but we're going to see. But it's day to day, but I think he's going to do some work tomorrow. And then Derek again. We didn't purposely try to not get him the carries last week. It's just the way it unfolded. And I thought DeMarco, actually, that was probably the best run he's had. That one we got called back on was probably the best run he's had this season. And so, we'd like to get him more. I think we've done a good job of getting him, pretty much balanced to this point without trying.
You missed Derek Morgan, no doubt, and he's had such a fine year. You would obviously be better with him. But the guys who stepped in for him seemed like really did a nice job overall.
Oh, absolutely. Eric Walden, more snaps than he's played this year, and we were a little concerned about that at where he's at
because he's 32.
Yeah, but it didn't faze him. He was really effective. He set the edge really well. Dodd came in, did some good things. It's just nothing wrong with him getting all the experience he's getting. But we did a good job. We didn't stop the run as well as we have been. A lot of that was we kind of got out of gaps, and you can't do that against a team that can run the football like they can. But I thought we did a good job of holding up for Morgan.
This bunch that you're going to see this week, they've got a runner in Hyde. I mean, he is a big back.
Big back, big physical back, leads the team in rushing, leads the team in receptions. He does it all. You can be for sure he's going to get the football.
Derek in Dixon, we're glad you're with us on Titans Radio. Go right ahead for the coach.
Hey, guys. Hey. My question relates to the last play of the game where it's fourth down, and we throw Adoree Jackson in on offense. I read a report after the game, and I was going to check and, guess verify the truthfulness of it. Said that Adoree Jackson was interviewed after the game and said that they had never practiced that play. It was kind of just drawn up on the sideline. And if that's the case, why do we go to that instead of going to one of our, main receivers in a, situation where the game's on the line? So I'll hang up and listen to that response.
Well, sure. I'm glad you came to me for the source, because that's why you don't believe everything you read and hear. Now, we have that play in. It's a situational play based on the coverage that they had played previously on third and long situations. That's the last – if you saw Kansas City a few weeks back when they hit a play just before half, we were just trying to get the ball and get some guys in front of them to block. But we have practiced it. It is a situational play. Did we practice it that week? No. We don't practice every situation. We don't have time. That comes up every week. We have a rotation of about five or six plays on Saturdays that we go through. If this happens, this is what we're going to do. That was one of them. But we didn't practice it this week. But it certainly wasn't drawn up on the sideline, I promise you. He's run it in practice, in the bubble. That's why you can't believe everything.
Well,
that you hear.
It's the Tyreek Hill play from the Dallas game.
It's the same play.
Instead of throwing the Hail Mary, the Kansas City threw underneath to Tyreek Hill, and suddenly the Cowboy defenders couldn't tackle it. There were blockers out in front of him, and they couldn't get him on the ground,
right.
And he scored. And
we're basing it on tendencies of what they had done on third and 10 or more up to that point. And again, was it the personnel? Was it him that they changed their coverage on that coverage or on that last play? Possibly, but that's why we did what we did. We're basing it on what they had done majority of the game.
All right, I want to ask you a question, and this may be a bit goofy, but I just wondered about it watching the tape back. So you throw down the left sideline to Delanie Walker late in the ball game, and it looks like he's made an unbelievable catch. One of the defenders comes over the top of him and inadvertently kicks the ball out of his hands, out of bounds. Incomplete pass. He doesn't go to the ground.
You've got to complete the catch.
I realize all that. But the kicking part of it, and I know it was inadvertent, does that matter at all? I mean, because
I don't know. I mean, you can't purposely, obviously,
right.
But I think that's what it is. It wasn't purposely
sure.
done. It was just, you're talking about bodies flying all over the place. When it came down to it, in the end result, you have to complete the catch.
Yeah.
No matter what. And he's completed a lot of those catches, and that bothered him that he didn't. He's such a competitor.
It was such an unusual play, though, because when the ball came out, you're like, why did that ball come out? Until you saw the replay, and it was clearly kicked. So because it's inadvertent, it doesn't make any difference.
Right, right.
And it clearly was not an intentional play.
I didn't think so. I couldn't challenge it anyhow based on where it was under the
– Right.
So there was really nothing I could do about it.
The challenge of being out here and the challenge of this trip, how long did it take to plan all of this, getting this team not only out here but to stay out here and using this facility, this hotel, essentially as your complex, other than going to Arizona State to practice? This is St. Thomas Sports Park.
Yeah, no, our ops department has done an amazing job. It took some time. I mean, obviously some trips out here to plan it, to look around where it would best meet our needs. They've done a phenomenal job. We've had numerous meetings on everything from first thing in the morning till late at night. This thing is planned out by the minute, and a lot of people are involved doing that. And it's so far so good. It's really run very smooth. I think our players, they've got to find some things to do on their free time, and we've got some things we're offering. Go see a basketball game, go see the hockey game. They've got Top Golf out here. They've got some things to do when they're not here.
Because they have a lot of extra time.
They do have a lot of extra time because they're not with their family. So I'm hoping some of that's studying the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, it's interesting. A lot of people don't know the fact that Tuesday is the normal players' day off. At St. Thomas Sports Park, a goodly number of your players.
50 plus is typically the number that guys come on their off day.
They show up at the facility to do whatever, and it was funny, around here today, they were milling about doing different,
right,
you know, football-related things, workout-related things.
No, they do a good job of taking care of their bodies. You know, we're using the spa here, the hot tub. We're using their facilities that really helps. But, you know, this is really a good day to recover. The other thing that they're missing a little bit on, we have a lot of guys on their days off that spend time with charities and do events that, you know, out in the community that I don't know if they get enough credit for that. You never see anything about it, but we have a lot of guys that spend their time off outside the facility, outside the organization, and away from their families.
And the rookies did some of that yesterday in town.
Yes, they did. They did. They went to a food bank and spent an hour and a half really helping out, you know, the local food bank, which I thought was a great idea.
Biggest benefit to this is the extra practice that you're going to be able to get, that you know you'll get outside because it's not going to rain here, or the fact that those big fellas don't have to make two plane flights across the country?
I'd say both.
Okay.
You know, we were concerned about the weather. Again, when this is planned out back in the off season, you're looking at mid-December, you're looking at possibility of us having some weather issues where we'd have to practice inside in the bubble, which, you know, we have a good surface, but again, it's still wear and tear on our players.
In December,
if we have to go inside there. So we thought the weather and also just the flying time and back and forth with some of those bigger guys. And again, it's all about recovery.
Because everybody, and this is all 32 teams, everybody's hurting right now. Everybody's sore. Everybody's.
Yeah, you're talking, it's a violent game. It's just, you know, you're in the week. Going into their 18th game, and it's across the board that way.
One more quick call. Let's go to Mike in White House. Mike, thanks for joining us. You're on the Mike Mularkey Show. Go right ahead.
Hey Mike. Really appreciate you guys getting me on tonight. Mike, I want to thank you for the job that you've done in Tennessee. You've done a fantastic job for us so far. My wife thinks you look just like Kevin Costner. Just wanted you to know that. I don't know if you ever got that before. my question is, I don't know if it's the play calling or if it's Mariota's decisions or maybe if it's just the receivers, but I've noticed a lot of shorter passes, especially last game. You know, there were some crucial third down plays and some second down plays, even where the guys just didn't quite get to the chains, and Mariota got them the ball. They didn't get any yards after the catch, and we wound up having to punt the ball. I didn't know if that was design plays or if Mariota's just checked down. If you guys don't mind leaving me on.
No, I'm not.
I can't. I don't have a radio, so if you want to leave me on for the response.
Sure, Mike, no problem. I know what you're talking about. Really a matter of execution. I can go to a third and four. We got three. Dumped down to Corey Davis, where it's a rub route, you get man coverage, which we expected and we got. We just didn't execute it very well. And again, some of that, those are things we got to get better at as we move forward. You saw what it was. What you saw is what was really happening. We just weren't getting the depths. And it wasn't just that. That was really this game. It was one guy here, one guy there. That we just, and again on offense, you can't have that. You're asking for a failure on the play if you don't have 11 guys executing at a high level. And that wasn't the case this past game.
Coach, you got to get to a staff meeting in 2 minutes. So thank you so much for joining us here. We appreciate the time. Always good to be with you.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
He is the busiest man in Phoenix. He is Jim White from TitansOnline.com, and he joins us here on the Mike Mularkey Show. Welcome.
Mike, how you doing tonight?
So you've written like 74 articles, columns, you've been on numerous radio shows, and you've actually gone out for a run.
Just get back from a run. I had to keep my head on a swivel tonight because just before I took off, I ran into Lou Spanos, and he said, hey,
this is... Lou Spanos, the linebacker coach.
And said, hey, this is feeding time for coyotes, and so you better keep one of your headphones out of your ear so you can kind of hear them.
I saw one.
Did you really?
Okay. Last night, I saw, and they are not small out here. They are about the size of my golden retriever, but, you know, 65 to 70 pounds. The ones we have back home are like little wispy sort of, you know, this old fella, he was not small. And I mean, it was impressive.
Yeah, you don't want to cross paths. And apparently they travel in packs out here too.
That's good.
Make me feel better. I said, I appreciate the tip. And then just before I took off, he said, hey, don't forget about the Bobcats either. So,
Bobcats. Yeah, so. And you know what else they have? They have mountain lions.
So luckily, the only thing I saw was a rabbit. I saw a rabbit. It was not as intimidating as maybe a coyote would have been.
Well, I'm glad you didn't encounter one, and I'm glad you've taken time with us. This is a very different experience. You know, we've been doing this 20 years. Titans have never done this. Other teams have done it where they only make the one trip and they stay and they have the ability to enjoy some warm weather in December. I think the players overall were pretty pleased with the thought of it, even though, as Coach Malarkey pointed out, being away from the family is hard.
Yeah, especially during the holidays, and
right.
that probably makes it tougher. But, you know, the payoff will come if the team is able to win on Sunday. You know, obviously the game on this Sunday didn't go so well. They were going to be on the same schedule leading up to the Arizona game no matter what, leaving on a Friday, getting here and playing the game. This is where you're going to find out whether you benefit from having the week here, practicing outside, not having to deal with the jet lag, and having the focus to play a game on Sunday.
Well, you would hope, if you're a Titans supporter, that this week would help power you toward the final three games, that it would give you a little more energy, that it would recharge the batteries some. Seems like the weather is certainly fantastic here. I mean, I think for all of us, the body feels a little different in the 75-degree temperatures instead of the 40-degree temperatures.
Yeah, it feels great outside, and I'm just talking to my wife back home. I know it's been in the 30s and not supposed to get out of the 40s this week. You know, we're practicing at Arizona State the next 3 days. It's supposed to be in the 70s. I'm looking forward to seeing the practice sessions there, and that's going to gear you up for the game on Sunday in San Francisco, where temperatures probably going to be, in the 60s maybe? I looked at the long-range forecast. I think it's going to be in the 60s in Santa Clara.
One of the injury notes not mentioned that I think really jumps out to me is Philip Supernov, because with Jalston Fowler no longer on the roster, the guy who mainly takes the fullback role is Philip Supernaw. If he can't go, does that change some of the things that the Titans are able to do? And I know they use various personnel packages, but does that one just basically go away?
Possibly, unless, you know, you think you can get Luke Stocker. I mean, he obviously had a week. That's a benefit from him being here last week. Obviously, they didn't know that Philip Supernaw was going to go down with an injury, but the way that worked out, he's had a week under his belt to practice. He'll get another week today. I would think he's capable of stepping in and doing some of those things. That's his reputation, and I think he's going to be active this week. Unless Supernaw makes a fast recovery. That was clearly the biggest injury coming out of the game.
Yeah, I know a lot of Vol fans are excited about Luke Stocker joining the team, but honestly, for what he can give this ball club right now, it felt like, you know, a week ago that was a heck of a pickup. It feels even bigger now.
Yeah, really fortunate how that – unfortunate for Philip Supernaw, but fortunate for the team the way that worked out. I mean, he's a really good blocker. He can catch the ball if he needs to, and, you know – I hate to think what would happen if he had not been signed and not been available.
So the Titans getting to practice, and they're staying on basically the same practice schedule time-wise. Everything outside of having to take a bus to practice lines out exactly the same way the next 3 days.
Yeah, I think it's right at 1:10 out here, maybe 1:10, a little bit after 3. Same thing on Thursday, Friday, a similar schedule back home. Well, I understand they hit the practice field, and then, you know, as far as the media is concerned, you can get to talk to Marcus Mariota after practice tomorrow. Mike Malarkey will do his regular press conference. I know members of the media are out here. We'll take part in that. You're going to have a little bit of a delay before the buses leave for about 15, 20 minutes, and then players are on the bus in a lot of their gear on the way back to the hotel.
Yeah, this is not a bowl game, though. I mean, it's very clear that this is a work trip, but they do have some free time, and so they're having to find some things to do. Are there things that you know that the guys are doing in some of their downtime?
Yeah, I heard Coach Malarkey. I know he's talking beforehand about, you know, potential, you know, going to a basketball game, going you know, to different events in town. I know today, as you mentioned, this is an off day for a lot of guys. I went to the gym earlier, and there were several guys in there. I was trying to sneak in there to get a workout in, and throughout the day, guys have been working out in the hotel's gym. You know, it's a pretty good weight. You know, they've got a good weight room in there. They've got different machines, so it was packed with players throughout the day. I snuck in there before my run, and then several more guys came in there. So guys are staying busy working out. I think Lyft is the way to go, obviously, because I'm out here without a car. I think a lot of them are in the same situation. I don't know whether the players are provided cars to use, but we're kind of out here a little bit. We're not, we're not in the middle of Phoenix.
No, we're not in the middle of Phoenix. As a matter of fact, our facility is at the end of a 2.5 mile access road.
Right, right.
So we're here, but this is a facility that hosted various teams through the years for events. And when the Super Bowl has been out here, and they've hosted two at University of Phoenix Stadium, they have held, the Patriots actually stayed here for Super Bowl 49. And so, it is a facility that's well set up for this, but the amount of work that has gone in to make it happen is really mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, the operations guys have been out here back and forth, but if you walk through the hallways, it's a great setup. I mean, as far as meeting rooms, offices for John Robinson, Mike Mularkey, coach has got a lot of room to work, looking at the lunch area. I mean, it's the hotel's has a ton of space, which is great. And so they couldn't have found probably a better place. And it's not too far from an In-N-Out, too. That's another bonus.
In-N-Out Burger.
Right.
Which is only out here on the West Coast. Double-double with rings?
I go with the double-double with fries. But next time I go, which will probably be in the next day or so, I'll hit wings. There's also a Whataburger out here, which is a favorite of a lot of folks. And a Shake Shack out here, which is more of a Northeast spot. So that's three pretty good burger places.
They get a little excited about their sports out here too. I had a good crowd at the facility at the University of Phoenix Stadium on Sunday. Certainly take a lot of pride in their basketball and their baseball and everything in this community. And they were all very interested to hear that the Titans were staying behind, and we're not surprised. It's for all the spring training that they host, they're used to having teams around in these parts.
The turnout of Titans fans at the game on Sunday was as large as I've seen it for a road game. I know we're out here for, San Diego was like that, because that's a short trip to Hawaii. I think a lot of Marcus Mariota fans were there last year, but this year the lower bowl was packed with Titans fans. And I talked to several of them that were from New Mexico and from Arizona and from, the West Coast, where it was an easy trip for them. I've gotten several questions on Twitter just inquiring about the practice schedule for this week. And these practices are closed, and I've kind of limited on what I can say, because I can't, be giving out information where you can all of a sudden have people, tracking the buses going to practice. But I have a
Jim
feeling.
Jim Wyatt told me.
Yeah.
He said I could come. No. Pro practices don't work that way, unfortunately.
But I'll be curious to see if people sniffing out. I mean, we're on the campus. I don't know whether the Arizona State, what their schedule is like, whether they're having exams or whether they're still going to be in school. But, when college kids find out that there's an NFL team practicing on campus, it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I think they only have 82,000 students at ASU.
Is that what it is? Wow.
Yeah, it's massive. I've never been to their practice facility. Obviously, I've been to Sun Devil Stadium when the Titans played there and covering a couple of Fiesta Bowls, but I have no idea what their practice facility is. There's a lot of energy out here, some positive, some negative, about the Herm Edwards hiring as ASU's new head football coach. And what's really fascinating about that is he's a pro coach from the Jets and the Chiefs. And it looks like he is going to retain almost the entire staff he's inherited, which is unheard of.
It is.
And that they're going to manage this team within this athletic department almost like a pro team.
Be interested to see how that works. He's a great guy. He's a great speaker.
It's fantastic.
He's going to get the fan base fired up here. How he handles the other part of it and back with recruiting is going to be interesting to me. But, his introductory press conference was interesting, and I think he's going to keep
both
things,
positively and negatively.
I think he's going to keep things pretty lively out here.
Now, Herm Edwards, the new head coach at Arizona State, and the Pac-12 fans certainly interested. And mentioning too, Pac-12 fans, I've seen some here in Phoenix who were here for conventions. I visited with a gentleman on Friday night, and he's from California. He can't wait to go to see the Titans play at Levi's Stadium on Sunday, because he is a wait for it, a huge Marcus Mariota fan. Those Pac-12 fans, even if they weren't Oregon fans, they take such pride in him that many of them have gotten very interested in the Titans.
Yeah, and the Titans don't play out in this area a whole lot. So this is an opportunity for anybody who likes Mariota, a fan of the team on the West Coast, to make the trips. I expect there to be another good turnout in San Francisco. I think the San Francisco 49ers fan base has been re-energized as well. I mean, this is Jimmy Garoppolo's first home game after winning two games on the road. So, you know, they had some issues with the crowd earlier this season. I'm interested myself just to see what it's like there on Sunday.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be a big deal. They're talking about Jimmy G and Jimmy GQ and all of the things. I mean, they were a punchline 5 weeks ago. And now, as we talked earlier in the show, they are being seen as maybe next year's Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Whereas Jacksonville was the Tennessee of, you know, Tennessee was that team last year. Jacksonville's the team that's made the move. Many people think with this defense, and now that they have a quarterback, if they get Garoppolo some more weapons, they can be very dangerous in 2018, and they're going to use the rest of this year as their push toward that.
Yeah, and it's a re-energized team. I mean, I talked to Mike Maiocco, a buddy of mine who's covered the 49ers for 23 years. He's a Hall of Fame voter, and said this is a team that now has the mindset they wish the season would continue. I mean, they've got three games left. They've won three out of the last four. You know, the quarterback has kind of changed the look of the offense. He's given the defense a chance to be fresher because the offense is staying on the field longer. Reuben Foster's been outstanding on the defense. Goodwin as a receiver from Buffalo who's come in and made some plays. The quarterback situation is taken care of. Garoppolo's going to be around for next year, even if it's on the franchise tag. But you get that out of the way, then you can go get a pass rusher. You can get some help on the offensive line. You can get some more players around him. He said the outlook has suddenly gone from doom and gloom to looking pretty good.
Well, and I think they've got their backup quarterback, too. C.J. Yep. Beathard didn't look bad when he played this year. Certainly wasn't probably ready for everything that came with that. But now he's gotten his feet wet. Now he can be behind Garoppolo and take his time. And so, you know, they in a couple of years, they may be as good at the 1-2 as anybody in the league.
And that's one of the things he said. He said his teammates love him, the coaches love him, the fan base loves him because they got thrown out there and he was getting beat up.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a tough guy. And as everyone, you know.
Well, he's a BGA guy.
Yeah,
come on.
You covered his games.
It goes without saying.
You called some of his games at BGA, didn't you?
I did.
So good for him. I mean, he did say they're in a good position, as you said, at 1-2 for the next several years.
Titans going to have to bring their A game on Sunday.
Yeah, need to. I mean, this is a tough matchup against a team that's hungry, and Titans have to play better than the team did on Sunday.
Jim White, steer clear of the Coyotes, the Bobcats, the Mountain Lions, and get something good to eat.
I can promise you I'll do that.
All right. Jim Wyatt of TitansOnline.com. You need to go read him every single day at the Titans official website. When we come back, Dave McGinnis from Titans Radio previews Sunday's game. That's next on Titans Radio. The Mike Mularkey Show continues from Phoenix with Titans Radio analyst Dave McGinnis, maybe the most popular man in Phoenix. You have seen everybody in the 72 hours you've been here. Of course, you were head coach here. You were defensive coordinator here. You helped get University of Phoenix Stadium built. Do you know everybody in this community?
I think so, Mike. I mean, since I've been here, of course, I still got a home here. And so the people out here have been very, very good to me. You know, my 8 years here, you know, four as a coordinator and four as a head coach, a lot of things happened. And yeah, I mean, this place was great to me. It really was. And the fun that I had yesterday, you know, before our broadcast was bringing a lot of former players and all the people that I was involved with that were up in the press box, bringing them in, introducing them to you guys, you know, and I mean, that's really cool. I mean, it was, they've been very, very kind to me out here, and I really appreciate this place.
Unfortunately, on Sunday, the Arizona Cardinals were not kind to the Tennessee Titans. Difficult game to get over for the fans, difficult game to get over for the broadcasters. With the team staying out here, does that make it extra difficult to get over for the Titans?
Well, they have to get over it. I've experienced this before both ways because, you know, all the traveling and the moving teams, that especially that, you know, that I've done and have extended stays, you know, back-to-back games and things like that. If you win the ball game, then what you want to do, you've got to gather your players' minds and get them back and get them ready to practice and it's a work week and get ready for the next week. If you lose the ball game, you've got to get your players' minds squared away, get, you know, practice. And here's what I know. The place in point as to where we are right now in this season, there is no time not to get ready because this is an extremely important stretch. That was a very, very disappointing loss. You know it, and I know it. You and I felt it. Everybody involved in this organization, everybody that cares about this football team felt it. Now, that's gone. That's behind you. And what you have to do, you have to move forward because from what I've seen of San Francisco, and I just watched their entire game today, this Garoppolo kid is doing exactly what everybody thought he was doing, you know, back there behind Brady in New England. And so you don't have time to feel sorry for yourself. You've got plenty of time to be mad about what happened, but you have to get ready.
This was the guy Kyle Shanahan needed to run the offense that he was running in Atlanta with Matt Ryan.
Oh, you're exactly right. And you put it so well there, Mike, because when I watched this thing, I just had visions of what Shanahan was doing with Matt Ryan there. Formations, motions, because that offensive system that Kyle Shanahan has, it's extensive. It's not only extensive, it's time concentric. It takes a while to learn it, and it especially takes time to master it from a quarterback perspective. Now, Garoppolo, very, very bright, and plus he could not have served a better apprenticeship at any place, you know, better than New England behind Tom Brady and with Bill Belichick. So he was ready to go when he went in, and from what I've seen, when they finally have cut him loose, this is an completely different team, because when your quarterback is ginning like he's ginning right now, everybody plays better.
This is a completely different challenge than what we thought it would be 3 weeks ago.
Not even close. It's not even the same type of thing, because I promise you, it's a different mindset up there in San Fran right now. You know, and that stadium in Santa Clara now, they've got hope. They've not only got hope, they've got belief, and they've got proof, because this kid has won 3 ball games for them, and he has uplifted that whole organization. And the other thing is that when you look at it, you want to look at it realistically from a football standpoint, if he's only been there this short amount of time and has digested that offense and has produced like he has, think what's ahead for them.
One of the smartest coaching moves I've ever seen was they traded for Garoppolo on October the 30th. They sat him for a whole month before they even stuck him in for a series against Seattle, and then back-to-back road starts and road wins. He was ready to do the job, and now his first home start.
No, and that you're so right. And I give John Lynch, you know, and I give Kyle Shanahan great credit, because, you know, Kyle Shanahan just signed a 6-year contract when he came there. That organization had bottomed out. That franchise had bottomed out, and they were willing to sit and build it. And now once you get someone like that, I mean, it's kind of the same thing we went through last year with Jeff Fisher and the Rams when we drafted Jared Goff number one. If Jeff Fisher would have played Jared Goff from the jump, he would have ruined the kid, because the team, that offensive team, was horrible around him. Now this next year, you see what's going on now. Sean McVay, they've built the offense around him. They've got someone in there. Sean McVay's got a system for him. So I give them all the credit in the world. It takes a lot to show that much patience in this league where instant gratification is what everybody wants. But I promise you now, they've got something going, because they've got something to build on with Garoppolo.
Dave McGinnis, what does the Titans offense have to build upon to get back on track?
Well, and I mean, we've talked about this, you know, for 3 weeks. I mean, they've got to have more success on early downs, because as we sit up there and broadcast this game, and I'm sure it's the same thing with the coaches, you know, once you put yourself in situations where defenses can predict what you have to do, and your yards to gain become further and further, and you get, as we've talked about incessantly, behind the chains, that is a problem. You've got to have more success on early downs, and then that leads to what you've talked about all season, and you're spot on with it, that leads to third down successes. You know, this offense has not been staying on the field long enough. You know, consequently, this defense has had to play a hell of a lot of football, and they've done a great job of with their backs to the wall of playing, but sooner or later, your offense has got to be successful early on, stay on the field, and to me, it all comes down to success on first down.
Even with the disappointment of Sunday, everything the Titans want to do is still in front of them. How do you, when you're talking to these players, how do you make sure those just aren't hollow words, but that is a true message that resonates so they're ready to go and beat the 49ers on Sunday?
Well, the first people that you can't fool in this league are the players. They know what's real and what's not. They know, I believe in their hearts, they know intrinsically that they can play much, much better as a team. You take the film and you dissect it and you show them why we're not being successful, where we can be successful. They've played very good football. They've played good football in stretches. You're not going to BS them and tell them that, you know, something that's not true. They know what's true, but they've got to go to work. They've got to fix it on the field, and that has to happen. They've done that before. They've got examples where they've done that before. They can't get down because, just as you said, everything they want to do is still ahead of them, but you got to win games.
Dave McGinnis, we'll see you Sunday in Santa Clara.
Mike Keith, I'll be with you, brother.
All right, that wraps up this edition of the Mike Mularkey Show. For Coach Dave McGinnis and Brad Willis, along with Coach Mike Mularkey, Mike Keith says goodnight from Phoenix, and we'll talk to you this Sunday beginning at 2:30 Central, 3:30 Eastern with Titans Countdown. Have a great night, everybody.
The Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered. Get the info you need for this week's game at TitansRadio.com. This is Titans Radio.